It is so important for us to read at least once a year this account. I'm always surprised when we started with young people coming into confirmation class, especially, that had never heard the story and had no clue of what the passion of Jesus was or what crucifixion was or what all of it meant. I think it's important to hear it because, especially in this season, this time for us, as we have been considering this portrait and the return to the Father, how Jesus really lived our life. I think we lose that in our theology. It always upsets me that people will hear the Gospels and they always read it with the idea behind in their mind that, of course, he was the Son of God, so that would happen. Those things were written after the fact of Jesus living his life. And so they take on people's experience of Jesus. And so they have a relative idea underneath, certainly, that he was the Son of God, he was the divine person, he was the healer, he was all those things. I like, for once, as we have been doing this during Lent, that we understand that Jesus lived our life. He was born as a human being. He suffered and died as a human being. He went through the human condition, all of it. That's always a shocking thing if you consider what you in your life have been through. And then to say, so did he. It was no different for him, except that underneath his journey, there was a realization of the experience of God that all of us look for. And it was an experience that not only gave him a vision of what his life might be, but it also gave him a sense of peace for whatever was going to happen. You will read in this morning's reading from the booklet that he suffered the same thing as his joy, all of it, the good, the bad, the ugly, the stresses, all of it, with the sense of peace that he was in the arms of God. And I know Nawin has been stressing that for each of us every day of our Lenten program. But how difficult it is to grasp that. We said at the beginning in one of the phrases for our opening prayer that we have enough faith to walk through anguish, accusations, despair, and darkness. That describes most of our lives, as well as the joys and the delights. We've had our darknesses, we've had our anguishes, we've had our betrayals, we've had our hurts. Those things seem, unfortunately, to be the things that hold us and hold on to us, or we hold on to them, and forget, or at least what pales as a result, are all the other positive, wonderful, miraculous things that have taken place as well. But that being part of the human condition, my point this morning is very simple. If Jesus did not live our life and die our death, and his death has absolutely no meaning and nothing to offer us, nothing. If he came through the experience as the Son of God and had all certainty that it would all turn out well, and that he would suffer, yeah, but he knew that on the other end there was going to be something spectacular waiting for him. If he had the certainty of a faith that allowed him to see through all the hurts, all the accusations, all the betrayals, all the denials, all the things that the disciples did to him, the abandonment that they showed at the end, that he lived through all those things as we do. If he did not, then his death and resurrection mean nothing. They really don't. The only way to enter into the promise of Easter, brothers and sisters, is to grasp our own lives, to hold on to our own lives and realize that there has not been a moment from the time of our conception and even before to the time we all eternally live that we have not been in the loving arms of God. That is not to say that we don't have doubts. That is not to say that sometimes despair is more powerful than our hopes. That is not in any way to insinuate that the journey is any less painful or difficult or challenging. But if Jesus offers us something through the process of his life, his death, and his rising, it is very simply that truth, that he, like us, and we, like him, go through the journey of life with the option of either hanging on to the cynic, to the naysayers, to the doubts, or clinging to the promise and the reality that Jesus has revealed for us. There is not a moment of our lives, not a moment of any day, that God is not there embracing us. And as the portrait has suggested, that embrace is not just of the Father. Because, you know, one of the things a lot of us have to deal with is this very simple truth. As long as we hold on to the Father, God Father, as somebody who is threatening, somebody to be afraid of, somebody who's going to catch us and punish us, somebody who is keeping records, as long as we hold on to that, we can never, ever, ever experience what it's like to be embraced by a loving Father. And I ask myself, why would I hold on to that when this makes all things possible? The journey of this Lenten season has brought us to that place where we ourselves are called to return to the Father. And even though Jesus on the cross in that story has a moment of absolute abandonment from God, "Why have you abandoned me?" something perhaps that all of us can identify in our own lives, God was still there. You notice, if you listen to what we talked about last week, about how Rembrandt has the father and the mother both present, holding the prodigal son. And one is healing and consoling and forgiving, and the other is determining and making sure there is a future and energizing and giving courage. That both mother and father are there in the hands holding that young man. Notice in the gospel that perhaps the presence of the father is missing, but there is the presence of the mother. And the mother is as much the presence of the father as she is a representative of herself. For she is at the bottom of the cross, with consolation, with soothing, with forgiveness, with a tender understanding. And still, we see in John's gospel, especially when Jesus points out to John, who was standing there next to Mary, he talks to his mother and says, "Mother, receive your son. And son, receive your mother." Which is Jesus saying from the cross, "Mother, father, and son, and daughter, all of us are one because of this very simple act. We are, brothers and sisters, children of God." And I know it's difficult. In fact, it's very difficult in our culture to choose to live as people in the embrace of a loving God. And yet, Passion story, the life of Jesus, puts that to us this morning. And during this week, if you have an opportunity, the readings for this week are very interesting, and they might make a good meditation time on Friday if you have the opportunity to be here. Jesus is the prodigal son returning, coming home to his Father. We are Jesus, and Jesus and we are one. He made that journey so that we also could make that journey to live always in the presence of a loving God. So may it be not only in our thoughts, in our prayer, but in the reality of our living. Amen.